Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can always listen to us when you're on the move by downloading the Guardian Radio app by going to the App Store or Play Store. And you can also just live stream us if you go to www.guardiantalkradio.com, where you can click the live stream button. So tonight in the studio, I have Bahamian filmmaker, director, television show presenter. I don't know how else I can introduce him. I'm sure he can tell us. Travolta Cooper, welcome to The Blank Canvas.
Good to be here, Amanda. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you. So, first of all, before we get to talking about our collaboration, because the NAGB and Travolta are working together on the film series this year, let's share with the audience a little bit about yourself. So, who is Travolta Cooper and why cinema?
Cinema is in my blood. It's in my name.
I know, right? Were you actually named after John Travolta?
My mother claims that she had a dream when she was pregnant with me, and she dreamt she was having a boy, and mm-hmm. she saw that this boy was going to be a part of the movies.
Mm-hmm.
That was 78, 79. John Travolta was obviously one of the biggest movie stars at the time. She liked the name, so she thought, if this happens, I'll name him Travolta, and that's what she did. When I first came to consciousness of who I was as a kid, you know, I was in the yard with my cousin, like, staging skits based on TV shows I saw.
Mm-hmm.
My teacher saw that in school and would write skits for me, and I was this little island star, you know? So mm-hmm. This was always my path.
But did you think you would actually be an actor in the beginning? Was that the first course you took?
That's a great question, because that's what it was. And that's kind of what it's coming back to. You talked about the other projects I have going on. Acting is how this whole thing began.
Mm-hmm.
Acting evolved into writing. Writing evolved into wanting to direct. I went through a period in high school where I thought to myself, I was obsessed with Spielberg. I was obsessed with Spike Lee. I was obsessed with Tarantino. And I thought to myself, I want to be these guys. I want to be the person behind the scenes. I want to be taken seriously as a filmmaker. And so I suppressed any on-screen abilities that I had at the time, and I went to film school.
Mm-hmm.
And that was sort of my focus.
Was that because you wanted to be able to control what was happening on screen? Was it anything to do with also feeling that there weren't enough characters that represented you and who you felt you were? Because obviously we're talking about the 80s, there weren't a lot of people of color in the film.
Correct.
On screen.
Correct.
So was that
correct.
Something that made you want to kind of go and tell different stories?
Well, you know, the thing about, you know, even the thing about Spike Lee is that Spike Lee was always on screen,
mm-hmm.
as well as behind the scenes, like mm-hmm. a Woody Allen. I think it's going to require some sort of deep psychoanalysis for mm-hmm. me to come to this realization as to why I, because it's not just acting, it's also singing. Like,
mm-hmm.
I had all these abilities, and I think a friend asked me this the other day, and I thought to myself, I think it boils down to, and this is even going to sound pretentious as I say it, but it boils down to having all this talent and feeling like you have too much talent, so just focus on one
mm-hmm.
thing. A mentor of mine,
jack of all trades, master of none.
Precisely, I was just mm-hmm. about to say that. So I think going on 40 now, 40 years, I think what I've learned to do, what I understand now, like I just saw Bradley Cooper in A Star Is Born,
mm-hmm.
and it was beyond inspiring. I mean, this guy, I saw myself on the screen projected. He
mm-hmm.
wrote it, he directed it, he co-wrote it, he co-wrote some of the music with Lady Gaga. I have all these abilities that are just swimming all
so you need to
everywhere.
Write. You need to write a Bahamian version.
I
mean, the story's been told four times already,
yeah.
right? I mean, we can have a fifth.
Yeah, yeah, that would actually be pretty easy and not expensive either. But I think what this mentor didn't advise me to do was understand that all these gifts are really one gift,
mm-hmm.
and it's not about being a jack of all trades. It's about finding the root of all the gifts and understand mm-hmm. that all these various gifts are branches on the same tree.
Mm-hmm.
I can honestly say I've arrived to the space in my life where I know what that means, and I've learned how to make all the gifts one gift. Mm.
But I think, again, I think it's interesting you chose the path of directing, really,
right.
Because I feel like possibly, you know, with all the sort of behind the scenes we've been getting now over the last, you know, I think there was a lot of mystery in the film business up till probably the 70s and 80s, and I think this idea of just being a star kind of became less. You know, you realize how little control you had and how manipulated you could be.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So I think it's sort of interesting that you took that role of like, you know what, okay, I have these gifts, but I want to be the one who calls the shots.
Right, right.
You know?
These men and women, as I was in high school...
Actually, does that phrase even come from being a director, to call the shots?
Exactly. And... yeah, there was just something about it that was so alluring to me. I mean, these people were my soulmates, Oliver Stone and Francis Ford Coppola. Like, John Singleton, the more I studied these people, the more I read about them in magazines, I thought, that's who I am. That's who I want to be. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be behind the camera. I want to call the shots, like you said.
So the first film that I was aware of, I don't know if it was your first film, was The Black Moses.
Correct.
Was that your first full length?
That's the first big one.
Yeah.
I did smaller projects before that. I did a notable project on Stafford Sands that was released a few years before that did very well here locally. I look at it today and it's like, ugh, because the production value is so... I mean, we produced it for about $8,000.
Right.
And it's not even high definition, so it's really... But at the time it was really impactful. Mm-hmm. Like it influenced Stafford being back on the note, because at the time we made it, he was off the $10 note, and now he's back on there. And many attribute the film to engage in that kind of discourse to bring him back. So
That's interesting.
It was a little small, little powerful little thing that we did, and then obviously that paved the way for a film on Pinling, which was also supposed to be small, but then just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger over the course of about 2 years. And then by the time Dennis Haysbert came on board, it just exploded. Mm. And it became like, you know, the Bahamian movie of the year, so to speak. Like, it closed the festival. It got all this attention.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting also because I think what's fascinating about the Bahamas is that we tend to look at it, you know, again, there's the reason we use the word insular, and it's because, you know, you tend to be quite inward looking. So we tend to look at all our stories and our history and think it's sort of unique or that we're alone, which, you know, again, in many ways we are all unique. But at the same time, I think there's so many connections with other countries in the world and other arcs of history. And that's why I thought Black Moses sort of took that next step, because it wasn't just about, this is what happened here.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what happened here, and this is how that fits into a larger global context.
Absolutely.
And this narrative of the Black Moses and how you sort of broke that down to really analyze, you know, what did that mean? What did that mean at different times of history? And I think it gave like another layer of meaning to who Sir Lyndon was as well, right? Rather than just like this kind of mythology of like, oh yeah, he was this amazing, smart guy who just took us to independence and blah, 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 blah. You know, there's so much more, and it's so much more complicated than that.
Right.
So I think that's also probably why it was a success. And I think also internationally, I mean, what was the response to that internationally?
It changed my life. You know, every project leads to the other project, right?
Mm.
And, you know, I'm doing a film on Miles Monroe now that is going to debut in South Africa next year.
Mm-hmm.
And... Black Moses was the first time I went to South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
We went there to talk to Thabo Mbeki and Nelson Mandela at the time, who was sick.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't do the interview. But it just opened all these doors for an audience in places where most filmmakers, Bahamian filmmakers, have a voice or a platform. And the response at Cannes was awesome, at the Cannes Film Festival, where we screened it in the market. We screened it in New York. The response was awesome there from both the Bahamian and international communities. The same thing in Los Angeles. It debuted here in the country at it's like the first Bahamian feature film. It was a documentary for the most part, but it debuted at number 3 At Galleria Cinemas, which was huge.
Yeah,
at the
that's
time.
Amazing. Yeah. Only outdone by Black Panther.
Yeah. And you know,
now you have that to live up to.
I know, right? And I, yeah, don't get me started about Black Panther. But I mean, it played a really good role in this. You know, whether that was Rain or Black Moses or Children of God or even Cargo Now, like, I think there's been this collective push over the past several years to have a voice and to have an industry and to have a platform as Bahamian filmmakers. Cargo, to my knowledge, is now the tip of that, because Cargo was the number one movie in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
For a short time, and that's an incredible feat.
Yeah, no, it really is.
That's
it
an
really
incredible.
Is.
I mean, that was historic.
And
in
do
my
you feel
eyes.
When you travel now, when Black Moses was in Cannes, when you do people still consider you a Bahamian filmmaker, or do they just consider you a filmmaker, or is it do you feel it all kind of you know, put in a kind of a little exotic box?
Right. Well, does people in LA. My colleagues in LA don't see Bahamian filmmaker. Mm-hmm. They see filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to. I don't have any movies that aren't inspired by the Bahamian culture or Bahamian folklore. The projects we'll probably talk about on this show that are coming up are all in some way, shape, or form Bahamian at its base, because. In addition to wanting to tell stories, you know, I was raised in a house with my grandmother, who was a masterful storyteller. Mm-hmm. And her influence, her impact is on everything I've done so far. Mm-hmm. It's on Black Moses. It's on Stafford Sands. She was this masterful Bahamian trickster storyteller. And I think that's what you see in Black Moses. You see the unreliable narrative, you know, the trick.
Yeah, or the hero that you think you should be rooting for, but then you suddenly think, well, maybe I shouldn't be rooting for him.
The various narratives. I mean, how my grandmother, with no education, had this ability to masterfully tell stories like that is amazing.
Oh, but that's in our genes, isn't it? And somehow, right. Like storytelling, folklore.
Yes. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and this was a time when they didn't have TV, obviously. So they had to entertain themselves. And it was just a natural gift. That informs my own storytelling and my own voice.
So we are listening to the voice of Travolta Cooper, who is a Bahamian filmmaker, director, actor, singer, documentarian, personality, TV host.
It's funny to hear a singer, but it's
true. We need a catch-all word. And we're going to be hearing more from Travolta after the break. You are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this short break.